Hello, and welcome to Backflips and Nerds, the podcast that gives you a British take on baseball. I am your host, John McGee. I wonder if some of you are a little bit discombobulated at the start there. We've changed our theme music. I hope you like it. It's a song called Night Joy by a band called Kubacek, who are absolutely fantastic. You should go away and check them out after you've listened to this podcast. This is another interview podcast this week. I had the pleasure earlier this week of speaking to Dan Vaughan, who is the voice of Perth Heat on Australian Baseball League TV, and also of the Kansas City T-Bones in the American Association, one of the indie leagues over in the States. Dan's a really brilliant guy, very convivial. You'll really enjoy listening to him. Bit of a different take on baseball as a commentator rather than as a player or a writer or anything like that. So Dan's going to give a bit of a different flavour. He's really great on Australian baseball, really great on baseball in the indie leagues, and he's just a really fun dude. I really enjoy talking to him for an hour on Monday evening, and hopefully you'll enjoy spending an hour in his and my company as you listen to this on your commute or in the bath or wherever it is that you are right now. We'll be back later in the week, hopefully, with a bit of a hot stove show wrapping up the winter meetings. There's plenty of content on the website this week, some really, really good transactions analysis of what's going on in the winter meetings. Really good piece from our friend Joey Mellows over in Asia about the players coming over from the MPB to the MLB that I urge you all to check out. But not just that, there's been plenty to look at. So get yourselves over to the website. Right now you're going to hear from Dan. You'll really enjoy it. Hopefully we'll get some feedback from you, and go away and follow Dan on Twitter, follow the T-Bones, and listen to his calls both in Australia and in the States next summer. I'm delighted to be joined by the voice of the Perth Heat from ABL TV and also the lead commentator for the Kansas City T-Bones of the American Association, Dan Vaughan. Dan, thanks for joining us so bright and early. It's 7 a.m. your time, 11 p.m. here in the UK. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. It's the beautiful thing about modern technology now. We can talk 24/7, no matter what time, and it's a beautiful day here in Western Australia.
Yeah, well, I'd love to tell you it's the same here in Northern England, but it's not. It's absolutely perishingly cold. It's about minus 2 degrees Celsius outside here, so a fresh one.
We're spoiled here. It's only going to be about in the 30s a day, so we'll have a nice day again in the West. The sun always shines, it seems like, and it just brings a smile to one's face. So we're very blessed here.
Yeah, you definitely are. We'll start in the obvious place. When you're talking to a commentator or announcer, the obvious question is, how did you end up in the broadcast booth?
Well, it really began when I was in high school back in Texas. I was an athlete growing up, played all the major sports that you'd play as a kid, baseball, American football, soccer, which, we call it soccer in the States, and loved playing at a high level. I think at some point I realized that I wanted to be involved in sports, but I didn't know if I'd be able to play sports forever and eventually have to not give that up. And I actually was doing some high school drama and some summer musicals and things of that nature locally and here and there, just for fun, and some church things, some church musicals. And I enjoyed being in front of people. And I thought, this wouldn't be a bad way to kind of, combine sports and speaking together. And the real, the biggest thing was, I didn't really want to go to a job where I really enjoyed it every day. I didn't want to be I remember my father telling me, you'd be blessed to do what you really want to do. And I, through all those little things growing up, when I got to college, that's the first thing I did, as I jumped into the broadcast journalism program at Texas Tech and dove right into doing as many events as I could do, volleyball, high school basketball, football, whatever, and DJ shift on the campus station, you name it. I just dove in and did that. So it really all began in high school, just carried right over, and I've never done anything different. I've never done anything different except for a short time. And even then, I was still working in some kind of media. So it's what I do. It's what I love. And I'm very fortunate to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I know from a number of interviews that I've read and listened to with some of the announcers in MLB and in the other US sports, the likes of John Miller and Don Osillo, that it can be quite a hard road and you need to have a few lucky breaks here and there. So what was your break to end up in the positions that you've been in yourself?
My first job out of college, I went to the baseball winter meetings in 1993, and just kind of got lucky. There was 10 or 11 jobs that were available, and I went, and it was in Louisville, Kentucky. And I remember interviewing for a couple of them, but one of them in particular, Charleston, West Virginia, was my first job in the South Atlantic League back in that early 90s. And that was my first break. It was a 1 year deal because the team was sold the next off season. Really, that got me going. And once I got into it, I was hooked and realized that I wanted to stay in it. So just having my demo ready and having my CV ready and prepared to shake some hands and get to know people. That's where it all began, was right there. And that was my biggest break. Then my other big break, as I left the game for about 10 years, 11 years. I didn't actually broadcast. I still was working as a DJ here and there, but I was not broadcasting. I came to Australia as the PA voice of the Perth Heat in 2013, or 2012, pardon me, 12 and 13 season. And I came over here really sight unseen. I had never been to Perth. I'd been to Australia, but never been to Perth, and was not guaranteed anything more than just, hey, you come be our PA guy. And they heard my demo and wanted me to come be they wanted an American PA voice. And so, okay, I'll give it a shot. And that opened up doors to be back in the booth again. And I was hired the next off season in Gary, Indiana. And so far I just kept a little momentum. And so it really came from the first break was early, and the second break was being here in Perth.
And what did you do in between that first break, the winter meetings in 1993, and
I was working in the Midwest League, 99 and 2000, 98, 99 and 2000 in Burlington, Iowa. And I was, kind of at a crossroads of my life. I was a little homesick. I miss Texas. I've been on the road for about 10 years, just about out of college. And a lot of my friends were having kids and getting married. And I really thought that I wanted to go home. And I took a job with CBS Radio there in Dallas. And, well, the stations there was going through a transition from country music to the FM talk, which would be kind of like the Howard Stern type radio stations that were at the time kind of coming into vogue back in those days. And I went to work in sales and in producing. So I'd actually sell the show, and then I would produce it and co-host weekend radio shows. So I really was doing weekend radio. A couple different shows, and that was what I was doing for a couple of years. And then one of my clients said, "Hey man, you've got a great voice. We'd love to have you DJ for us." So I trained DJs at nightclubs in Dallas and did a little DJing at a high level at nightclubs across the country, and did that for a few years. And then being up all night's a tough life, so I went back to and I miss baseball. Honestly, I miss baseball really for the first day I was on the air in Dallas. I missed the daily baseball life, and it took me a while to get back into it, but eventually I did. So but it was I wasn't too far away. I still had my eyes on the game. I was still following the game. I kept tabs on people. Matter of fact, my boss friend, whatever you want to call him, who's in Kansas City, Chris Brown, and I stayed very much in contact over the years to just kind of, keep that door open. And then when the door's open from here, I came back in, and I'm glad I did. It was the best move I ever did, I ever made. I'm like, again, like I say every time, I'm very blessed and very fortunate to be able to do what I do.
Absolutely. So you said that you came over to Perth in 2013 originally as a PA announcer. Were you actually looking to get back into the game, or did they just hear you on the
Yes,
radio? Or?
I just missed a job. I came in number two for a job with the King County Cougars, which are in the Midwest League there outside of Chicago. And I was very disappointed. I thought I had a great interview. You have those situations where you feel you've done a real good job. And I feel like I've done a really good job in the interview. It felt right. I really thought I knocked out of the park. And I lost out to a gentleman who now is doing ball games with the Phillies. So I guess I did okay. I had been gone for 10 years. I was right there on the cusp again. It was a little disappointing. I'm looking for apartments online and excited, and then I didn't get it. And that really let me down. And I thought, well, I want to do all I can and cover all my bases. And I read about the Australian Baseball League. I knew there was a few, there have been a few opportunities I'd heard of in the past. I contemplated going to grad school. And initially, Melbourne was my choice. Going to Victoria was my choice. I had got accepted to grad school there. I was convinced I was going to be in Melbourne. I started looking at the train schedules and where the trains were going and how close I get to the ballpark and where I wanted to live and how far it was out to Altoona and all this. And since I'd written them, I'd written every club over there, but Melbourne had gotten back to me. And then Alex Pellerano, who's with the ABL and the national sales manager for the ABL here in Australia, was our GM in Perth at the time. And he actually called me and emailed me out of the blue in the middle of a Skype conversation. And all of a sudden, Perth. And if you know much about Australia, and listeners will know that Australia is a very wide, vast country. It's not that everything's on the coast. It's a real spread out place. And Perth is probably the most spread out, isolated city in the world. And it's one of those places a lot of Australians don't go to, and it's which they should, because Western Australia is a wonderful place. But a lot of people just, it's on their radar. They come to Sydney, they go to Melbourne, they go to the Gold Coast, they go to Brisbane, whatever, Tasmania even, before they even come to the West. And I was kind of, man, that's a long way out there, Perth. But Alex and I kept talking. The more we talked, the more I really felt like that was a place to go. And so I came out here sight unseen. I've been to Australia before, but I've never been to Perth. And flew in and got off the bus at the ballpark, and the rest was history. But it was one of those deals where I contacted them, but there was some mutual interest there. They listened to my demo, and they wanted to the big thing was they wanted an American voice for their PA at the time. That was something they really wanted to do, and it's something they've often done in the past. They wanted that feeling in the ballpark that you wouldn't know if it was America or Australia. That was the big thing at that time.
Great. And so you've kept coming back for the last few years, and it sounds like there is a surfeit of reasons for it. You know, Perth, loving the baseball, like, I guess it's all of these things that keeps you coming back, right?
It is. I love Perth. I love the people here. I love the West. I love Australia. It's a lot like my native Texas. They're very similar places. Oftentimes you'll meet a Texan, they'll tell you, oh, I'm a Texan before they're American. And I get a little bit of that feeling here being Australian. They're definitely uniquely Australian. They're very uniquely Australian. The fact that I love, you know, it's very rare. Most broadcasters in the States are doing hockey or American football or basketball, which I like those sports. I like them a lot, but it's not, the fact that I'm doing baseball year round is really kind of cool. I mean, I'm one of the few guys, maybe three or four of us in the world that do that. And, you know, Andrew Reynolds over at Sydney does it. I don't think he does anything in America, but used to. I'm one of the few that actually does, and the gentleman that's in Melbourne right now, Chris Guardiola, I think does some stuff in AA and over here. But I've been doing both sides of the world and doing baseball for these years, and it's really kind of a cool niche for me. And it's fun because it makes my broadcast in the summer better. I think it makes my broadcast here better because I see stories and things that happen, and I share them both broadcast and people love it. And when I go on the road to the American Association, I'm always asked, hey, man, how's Australia? How's that? What's the experience like? How's the baseball? And people really in America in general are enthralled with Australia. They don't come over here ever because it's so far, but they love to talk about Australia and about baseball in Australia. And I get stopped down. I go to Winnipeg every summer, and Steve Schuster, the play-by-play man in Winnipeg, always puts me on this radio show, and he always talks about my time in Australia. It's a real big topic. And so I get hit with that everywhere, and I love that. And it's just a real – it's kind of a love affair, if you want to get down to it. It's a love affair with the West. I think it's a love affair with this country. And it's been one of those deals that I've battled to get my work visa sorted, and I'm contemplating down the road becoming a dual citizen. And it's really become a part of my life, and it's my second home. Literally, I spend more time in Australia than I do in my home in Dallas. So that's pretty much the way it is for me.
So you've been there a while now. I'm interested to find out from you what you think about the quality of this year's ABL compared to those you've seen in the past. It seems to be having a bit of a spike in popularity, particularly with the transplants of quite a few Asian players into all of the squads this year.
Well, I think that's where we've really got it right. I know last weekend we had Tarzan, Taysom Chang was here, the Taiwanese legend. We had probably a spike of about, I would say, 12 to 15% fans over the course of the weekend that had that I'd never seen or had not been out there. We had a press conference with him every night. We carried it live on the air and carried it there on Facebook Live as well. And those fans were just loving meeting him and getting pictures taken. He was gracious, and that's a real good place to start for us. Which is, it makes sense because Australia, you know, we're the southern hemisphere. All around us, Oceania, our neighbors are the countries that play baseball: Japan, Korea, Chinese Taipei, and, you know, Taiwan. All those are all baseball places, and it makes sense for us. It makes perfect sense for Australia to hooch their wagon, so to speak, to those countries, because those are they're in our neck of the woods. You know, they're a little north of us, but we're all in the same area, and I think it's a real great place to start. It's a great league. It's the, and I think the fact that the Asian thing created some buzz, and the level of play has gotten better. My first year or two, it was really a high level. I think it kind of dipped for a couple of years. Maybe 13, 14, it sort of dipped a bit. I think the last 3 years, there's been a better group of imports, whether it be Japanese, whether it be American, whoever, whether it be Rays players or whoever. They've been just a better crop, and that helps as well. The more people you can identify with, that's the biggest thing. You know, we can identify with not just the English speakers, but the Japanese speakers and the Korean speakers. And the more love we spread of the game, the better off we're going to be. And I think that's where we're on the right track. And I'm excited about this year. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, just seeing the Taiwanese flags here and over in Sydney last week, really a cool thing. We hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, so it certainly seems like not just for the Asian players, but for a lot of the American players, they're seeing this as a sort of an opportunity in the winter as a bit of a leg up to get them into the CPBL, the KBO or whatever. Do you think that it's starting to get a reputation not just for the homegrown talent, but as a place to sort of refine your skills, rebuild your career?
You're right on there. And again, I talked about getting stopped in America. I get asked, oh gosh, probably on a weekly basis, because I represent Perth in the States when I'm over there. And whether it be just a phone call about, hey, I want to find out about more at your ball club, or hey, you guys looking to find a player? Oftentimes they will email me first. I'm the first contact they'll have before I forward them on to Lachlan Dale. And for example, Alex Boshier, as we signed this year with Perth, Alex is in the same league as I was in Wichita, and I was in Kansas City. So Alex and I touched base and got a chance to chat a bit and kind of tell him about our program in person. But what I found is that it seems like in general that the enthusiasm for the game is there, and people really realize that there's an opportunity. Because let's look at it this way. Winter ball is oftentimes, like you mentioned, it's a chance to refine your skills. Well, right now, unfortunately, the situation in Venezuela is really, really bad. And not to really belabor the point and go in long detail about it, but if you've read much about Venezuela, Venezuela's rule, it's a little unsavory. At one time, it was the best winter league in the world, and Venezuela has become a real unsafe place. So I'll just give you this sidebar. I've had travel for kids going back to Venezuela to play in the States, and they're wanting to take back with them not clothes, but diapers and formula and things for their families, because things are tough in Venezuela. I feel bad for those kids. Well, big league organizations don't want to send kids to a place that's unsafe. It's a beautiful country, Venezuela, but you get an investment with these players. You get a first-round draft pick. You spent $4 million on whatever, and you're going to send him to some place and hope he comes back. You want him to come back. You want him to come back not just a better man, but having a chance to play. And Australia provides that, a safe place, a safe country. Yeah, it's a long way away. People speak English here. They embrace baseball. It's, you got to remember, too, Australia, much like United Kingdom and much like America, you know, I don't spend a lot of time in England, but I know enough about England because we have TV in the States. We get a lot of, you know, same thing here. They have TV here. They get movies from the States, movies from Great Britain. So I have an idea what life is in those places. I'm not totally, you know, a place that doesn't understand, you know, even though English is different, we still speak the same language. So all those things combined make it a great option over here. I think that's the thing that the team or the teams and the league will continue to push, because it is a safe option. And it's a good option. And for a young kid, and the thing about it is, too, every kid that comes and plays here, when I catch up with them down the road, whether it be playing for here or Sydney or Adelaide, wherever, when I run to a player down the road, they always tell me they love their experience here. And they, to a man, no one's ever told me, boy, I went over there and had a rotten time. They love coming here. They love playing here. And who wouldn't? The weather's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see that with some of the bigger name players that keep coming back. So Mr. Hamburger, again, I know you'll see on your rounds back in the States, he's back this year after loving it last year. It's one example.
Well, that's the thing about him. And he's a great ambassador for us over there. And he and I have had a couple of conversations when he was in St. Paul. And he loves it here. He does things like cook for the fans and sing the seventh inning stretch. And we, of course, we've had Joey Wong. We had her a couple of years. He had her in 3 years. 3 out of 4 years, Joey Wong came over, shortstop from the States, come over. And we've had – it was Jack Murphy that's now the Dodgers organization. He came here and played in Canberra for 3 out of 4 years or 3 years in a row. You're getting that. You're getting those guys back. Last year we had Derek Peterson who came back for his second year. And you're seeing guys that want to come back and are interested in coming back and being a part of whatever organization. And especially in Perth here, once a heater, always a heater. And these guys really enjoy being part of the family.
Absolutely. So it's a good time to transition onto the Heat. The team's made a really strong start this year, 10-5 campaign so far, sitting just a half game back of the preseason favorites, the Brisbane Bandits. So, how's it going? Who's standing out for you? Is this how you expected the team to go, or is it a bit of a surprise so far?
I'm writing a piece right now. Well, I'll rewind the clock back to October. I was sitting in my house in Dallas, and I make my trip down to the coffee shop there in the neighborhood, and I do a little work during the daytime when I kind of want to get cabin fever. And I knew all of our returning players. I knew about Luke Hughes and Tim Kennelly. I knew about our young guys, Alex Hall and Jesse Williams. I know all those kids. I mean, I followed Jesse and Ulrich Majowski all summer long. And when Ulrich's in the States, I'm keeping tabs on what he's doing. So I knew about it. I was just kind of refreshing their bios. And I thought, well, you know what? Let's look at the Tampa players. I mean, I had the names, but I hadn't even looked at them yet. This is like August 10th, about a month out. And I pulled up Garrett Whitley, and I went, oh, boy, it's a first-round draft pick. Okay, that's the first one we've ever had. Let's see Zach Law. I went, what? I did a little research on Zach. He was going to Dallas Baptist, a big Division I powerhouse, and he decided to sign for X amount of dollars. And going, they must like this guy. He's converted to catcher, too. He's got good speed. Then Jake Fraley is at LSU. I remember him from LSU. I saw him in the College World Series. Well, this guy can play. Then Mike Brousseau, same. I mean, I'm like, look at his numbers going, wow, those are four legitimate prospects. We've never had that before. We've had some good prospects, but now four guys that I can tell you right now would not shock me if all four made the big leagues. That's the first time I can say that. We've had guys before, Michael Ullman a few years ago, that I knew would be in the big leagues, but there's some guys that maybe, heck, last year's imports for us all got released for the Orioles in spring training. So these are all legitimate guys, and I was like, man, those are really good prospects. And I remember telling Paul Morgan, I called Paul on the phone that next day in Perth, and I'm like, when I was in the States, I said, Paul, have you looked at our imports yet? I mean, these guys are pretty good. And you put them in a lineup with Luke Hughes and Tim Kennelly, who are two of the best players in the modern era in Australia. You suddenly got yourself six pretty solid play pieces in your lineup. Then you throw a couple of youngsters in there. It's scary how good this team could be. And I think that they're just realizing it now. Brisbane's still the chalk in the league. I mean, they've won it 2 years in a row. Why wouldn't you bet on Brisbane? I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, Dave Nielsen's done a great job, but trying to close that gap, I think Canberra and Perth will find out this weekend, in the next 2 weekends, really, who's closed that gap. But it's an exciting club. It's a scary club. And I'm working a piece right now that 1 through 9, it's a pretty tough lineup. Mm-hmm. I'll give you 2 points this last week, and you may have, if you follow the games, then you know what I'm talking about. One was when Alex Hall was forced to catch in game one of a doubleheader when Zach Law got hurt. And there was a situation where Kyle Simon gave up 5 runs early, but he settled down. He'd worked 2 scoreless innings when Alex came in the game. And Simon threw 2 balls, and he was behind the count again. And Alex pops up. He runs out there. Talks to him real quick, has a quick chat, pats him on the wallet, runs back, Simon's right, retires the next three batters, and we go on to win the ball game. That was number one. A young player, Alex Hall, going out there, taking command to a veteran, saying, look, you're throwing strikes, keep throwing strikes. Game two, scoreless ball game. We have Jake Turnbull, a Reds prospect, 19-year-old. He steps up, gets a base hit. 18-year-old Orbit Bajowski, a Tigers prospect, base hit. First and second, there comes Jesse Williams, recently signed with the Brewers, 18-year-old, base hit, RBI, 1-0, which turns a lot of card back over to Jake Fraley, and the rest of the thing happens is five more runs because at top of the quarter, it all began with the young kids. So those two things this weekend, it's not just the veterans and the Rays players, it's the young kids. That kind of shows you where Perth is right now. It's not just the big headliners. The young kids are contributing, and that is scary to how good this team could really be.
Yeah, it's good that you've already mentioned Alex Hall and Jesse Williams. I was going to ask you quickly about them. That's been pretty exciting news out of Perth in the last week or so, that those two guys are going to be joining Milwaukee at the beginning of spring training next year. Everyone seems cock-a-hoop about that.
Yeah, they're great kids, too. They're joined at the hip sometimes. They're best mates, and they're great kids. And I'm excited for them and their families, class acts all the way. But, yes, that's the first time we've had Brewers players – I think since the late 90s. So it's another organization we have not really seen. The Tigers are very heavily part of our family because of Warwick, Slubold, and you know, that connection. And with Kevin Hooker, who's their scout here as a local WA guy, one of our former coaches. Of course, we've had a lot of Reds players too, but it's the first time we had the Brewers. So it's exciting for them and a couple of young guys. And they'll find their way there next year. And, they're excited. That's good for our organization. Anytime we have nine players currently in affiliated baseball, and that's the most of any state in Australia. So that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. It's exciting times across the board for the whole league. Things have changed up a bit this year. There's a new CEO in the league in Cam Vale. Very exciting talk about expanding the league to eight teams next year. Talk about a team in Auckland and maybe another team in Australia, different ownership model, and also suggestion of a Team Australia in the CPBL next year. So it's all change, but very exciting change. I don't know if I've heard that you and Paul and you and Simon talking about it a bit on the commentary. What are your thoughts?
I really believe the more you play, the more you do anything in life, whether it be podcasting or digging ditches or open heart surgery, the more you do, the better off you're going to be. And one thing Team Australia has had a problem with, and I think it's a small gap, but when you're playing Japan and Cuba to go on in the World Baseball Classic, you're playing against guys who play basically year-round. You're playing with guys, no offense, but you got gentlemen who are not playing ball year-round. They're firemen and bankers and they're getting the jobs because they have to, because the way baseball's set up here, the governing body, those guys have to have other jobs. We're in Japan and in Cuba, those guys are baseball players first and foremost. The opportunities are there for them to play year-round. And that's something we really champion at Talking Baseball Australia. I know the Perth organization also believes in this, that these guys need more reps and need more chances to play, whether it be playing in an Asian league or playing as an independent club in the States. You need more chances. And make it lucrative enough for these guys can play ball and not starve. You know, they can put you're not going to get rich playing minor league baseball. But you should be able to at least pay a bill or two and also get better at your craft. And, you know, I'm not getting rich doing what I do, but I'm able to pay a bill or two and improve my craft as well. And I think that if we get to a point as an organization where we close that gap, where our guys are playing, you know, we've got, you know, of course, Warwick Sopel's playing year-round, but we've got other guys who aren't. And we need as much of a talent base as playing year-round to close that gap between, you know, the Japanese and the Americans or even Canada, for example. I mean, those guys, a lot of those guys are MILB players. When you look at Team Israel last year, they were made up of a lot of minor league players. So the Dutch, they've got the islands to deal with. They've got all those great players in the islands and the Kingdom of the Netherlands. They've got guys playing year-round. We don't have that. And you can blame John Deeble all you want to for his managerial things that people are upset about. But at the end of the day, Cuba, Japan, Netherlands, U.S., Canada, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Israel are all got guys that are playing year-round, and our guys aren't. We need more opportunities for that. Hopefully, that comes with this expansion of the ABL and hopefully to Asia. But it's exciting for baseball. I mean, I really believe the more games we have, the more teams we have, the more exposure we're going to get. And going to Auckland makes sense. I think it'd be a great place to go. And then adding a team here makes perfect sense.
Excellent. So plenty to watch. I think the announcements are going to be made in April around all of those things. So a little bit of intrigue after the end of the season.
It'll be a different off season this year. Usually yeah. It kind of gets quiet and it goes dormant. This will be one of those off seasons where people be March and April be on the edge of their seats and to find out what happens because I don't want to. I want to burst any bubbles, but there's a possibility that not all the teams get sold, and that's fine too. And the idea is eventually to move this model to what you see in the MILB or you see in the Central or Western in Japan or even the Nippon League to a privatization where you run it like a real ball club's run, where the state bodies are great, but they're not designed to run professional level and run a baseball club at a top level. It's like I often use this reference in the States, the North Texas Soccer Association, which is head of all the youth soccer in the United States in Dallas. Their job is not to run the MLS team in Dallas. That's what they do. And they can't do it. I mean, they can try. Their job is to put on youth tournaments and to put on the growth of the game. We need somebody there to step up and put at a higher level. And I think that's a great example from my background where I've seen soccer scuffle a bit in the States. And that's where baseball is going to take that step forward states are still a very big part of things. Don't get me wrong, but their job will be to push those kids through the system, and somebody at the top will help push them to the top of the top into the national stage.
There's been some suggestion that some of the MPB teams, some of the MLB teams might be interested in picking up an ABL team as a permanent winter ball fixture. Is that something that you've heard as well?
I've heard that, and it makes perfect sense. It's not uncommon. Many of the clubs, Texas or the White Sox, the Cubs, have Dominican teams year-round, academies in the Dominican Republic, and they've had them in Venezuela in the past as well, some in Mexico. So the model's been there in the past in the Latin American countries to run these baseball academies or baseball teams. There's been players that are even Australian players who played in those summer league and winter league teams that are down there. So the model's there. I think the big question is if the one thing is the Major League Baseball was here before, 2 years ago, the league was founded when reborn with MLB money. And the MLB, the money dried up. They don't actually, that's why we're going through this whole process now. I guess the question is they didn't like it before. What are they going to like it now? But I think the model's there. I don't know why you wouldn't want to do it. If you're the Dodgers and you've got a big Pacific Rim operation, you've got a lot of interest in scouting this part of the country or the world. Why not have a team over this part of the world too? It does make some sense there. I don't think it's that far fetched.
Interesting. Well, there's plenty to be keeping an eye out for. But we'll pivot away from that now to your other job. We'll let you take your Perth Heat hat off. I won't make you because you are wearing one. Just for those who are listening, and put a T-bone.
I'll turn around backwards.
Yeah, have you got a T-Bones hat handy? Can you pop one on?
I don't have one handy, but my wife's coming over next week, and I've got a whole box of caps because I had literally packed so much stuff that something had to go. So I said, "Honey, when you come for Christmas, you bring the cap box." So I've got I got a T-Bone shirt in my closet that I wear a lot. So I do have a T-Bones shirt here. I do have that. The caps will be arriving next week in Sydney.
So on the T-Bones, I think I'll start by asking, what's different between the American Association and the ABL? Is it a little bit more serious? Is it more laid back in the ABL, or is it basically the same gig? Have Mike, will travel.
Well, I look at the gig here as a more of a pioneer. It's a pioneer spirit. It's a new discovery at every corner, where the American Association is very established. It's of course being played on American soil. It's very much American passion. I found the fans are very similar. They get ticked off when you lose. They get happy when you win. That happens in any sport, any level, any code in the world, whether it be cricket or rugby or footy or whatever. It doesn't matter. The fans are fans. But it's a different experience over here compared to there. It's established league, obviously, but it really is. I call it a pioneer thing over here. It's we're on the cusp of baseball went away for a while over here. We're we're kind of the forefront, banging the drum, saying, hey, follow us, listen to our broadcast, come to our games. We're over in Kansas City. We've got a sales staff of about seven or eight that all they do is sell the game. We have two groups. I did a release last night from went to bed here for Kansas City for group sales. And they're already doing group sales right now. It's a year-round job in the States to sell and to promote your ball game. And those folks are doing group sales for next summer where they'll bring out every group they can find. There's just two guys. All they do is do group sales. We've got corporate sales people. We've got just generic cold call ticket sales people. That's the big difference right there. Our front office is a lot larger, and they're full-timers. That staff of about 10 is a full-time staff, and that's all they do is they work T-Bones baseball year-round. That's a big difference. We're here, I'll go to the office today at a Perth Harley-Davidson. We'll have four people in the office on a busy day. That's the most we ever get, and only really two of those people are full-time. So other two of us are not volunteers, but we're part-timers. We're in Kansas City. Those folks are cranking it out right now. That's the big difference there. Crowds. I mean, we draw 300,000 people with their eyes closed for a season in Kansas City. That's a big part of it, too. It's a lot different crowd. And it's a longer season. It's a grind. Mm. You play 100 games and 50 on the road, 50 at home. And it can be a grind. We're here. You get 50 games in the course of the year. That's pretty much a bonus. So those are the differences, really. But at the end of the day, you look out there and there's the Australian flag here. You look out there, there's the American flag there. The same feeling of looking next to your mate, next to your friend to your right, your mate to your left. Your family's there with you. You get that same feeling of that lump on your throat. You get that same take me out of the ballgame experience, the same cold adult beverage. All those things are all the same. It's a different location. Mm. Different time of day, too.
yeah, sure. And so Kansas City T-Bones, that's obviously a big league town that you're doing your job in. I kind of wanted to ask, what's it like being the sort of the minor team in a major town? Is it a bit of are you seen as the second class citizens, or is it a totally different experience for people coming to watch you guys as going to watch the Royals?
It's a different experience. I think you're seeing a trend now, too, in all major cities in America, where it used to be, when I grew up in Dallas, the closest minor league baseball team to Dallas would have been like in Midland, Texas, 5 hours west of us, or Oklahoma City, 3 hours north of us. There was no minor league teams in Dallas-Fort Worth. Now, in Dallas-Fort Worth, we've got a team in Frisco, a double-A team of the Rangers. We got two independent teams that are playing there, Grand Prairie, the Airhogs, mm-hmm. and the Cleveland Railroaders, or the American Association. You're seeing a trend in California, out in L.A. We've got Rancho Cucamonga and Inland Empire and Lake Elsinore, all metropolitan areas in Orange and Los Angeles County have minor league baseball teams. And big league clubs realize now that, A, if I've got a minor league ball club in my area code, I can rehab players there. If a guy gets hurt, he can go play for Frisco there in Dallas and get him healthy to come play with a big club. They also realize that it's a different entertainment thing, too. People go to minor league baseball games to be entertained. You go to the big league games to be entertained, but you also want to win. When I go to a Ranger game and the Rangers lose, I had a good time, but I'm ticked off because the Rangers blew it again. I go to a minor league game, well, the T-Bones blew it, but you know what? We had a great time. It's a little different attitude and different kind of thing. Plus, it's affordable. A big league game, you go to a big league game at Kauffman Stadium, a great ballpark, and I go often. You're going to pay your $10, $15 to park. Well, $15 will get you in the ballpark in Kansas City. We have free parking at the T-Bones ballpark. So $15 will get you in the ballpark and your car in the ballpark and a little spare change. You know, where you go to Kansas City, I haven't gotten the ballpark yet. It's cost me $15 to park my car. So the value is a lot different. And you've got, of course, you've got everything else just ratchets up. The hot dogs are more expensive. The beers are more expensive. The popcorn. All more expensive. The tickets are more expensive. Where in Kansas City, the T-Bones, the minor league experience is that it is minor league and it's to be entertained. It's the old, I often look at the old movie Bull Durham as kind of the model of it. People are having fun. And granted, there might be a lot of people in the stands, but they're having fun. That's the idea. That's why we call it our motto in Kansas City. The T-Bones is fun, well done. Hashtag fun. Well done. That's what we're about. And I think you'll find a lot of minor league places like that. They've got four minor league teams in Chicago alone. So that's a very large market. You've got two minor league teams in Metro New York, just in New York, the New York City side. So you're seeing a lot more of that now. And I think it's baseball audience is the same, but you're going to spend, you go to Yankee Stadium once a summer, twice a summer, but you go to the Brooklyn Cyclones once a month, once a week. That's more affordable. And you get a great experience.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I'm yet to experience any minor league ballparks. I'm coming over to the States, to Northeast. I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm afraid, and I'm gonna not just go to Red Sox. I'm gonna go to Manchester, which is coincidentally where I'm talking to you from right now in England. I felt like I had to. I'm gonna go to Hartford, and I'm gonna go to Portland, and I can't wait. I think I'm looking forward to seeing those more than I am going back to Fenway in many ways.
Well, Fenway has its own charms too. I mean, I'm not trashing the big league game. No one will get that impression either. But it is the big league game, and it's those salaries cost money. And so to put those salaries in place to sign, for the Yankees to get Giancarlo Stanton and Payne, they got to charge $400 for a seat behind home plate. There's a reason why they do that. Corporates are buying these things, and there's a reason why the tickets are $75 down low or whatever. There's a reason why. Because of that. But with the minor leagues, it's a little different. The experience is a little different, and the prices are different. But it's still, again, the very same game. And very there are times you'll be a T-Bones game, and you'll think the play is just as good as the big leagues. There'll be times you're like, oh, another error? Oh, my gosh, it's terrible. That happens too. But by and large, the minor leagues, we're selling experience. We're selling the love of the game. We're selling that whole popcorn and hot dogs and that whole thing. We're selling that experience where the big leagues, hey, come watch the boys win and beat the Yankees, or come watch that's what you're selling. It's a little different, but the game is not much different.
For people who haven't watched any American Association games, what sort of standard are we looking at here? You said, sometimes it can be big league standard, sometimes it can be little league standard. Is it? Yeah, it's pretty good stuff, right?
It is. It is good stuff. I like the two best independent leagues are the Atlantic League and then the American Association. The Atlantic League likes to claim they're AAA or above, but they may be AAA. I think the American Association is about AAA. There are times when certain teams have had to make a sold off some players and maybe more, a little bit more high A. But by and large, this year in Kansas City, we had 21 new players out of 22. We started the year, and we had a lot of AAA and AA guys. We had a lot of veteran guys that have been close, and they were trying to get that second chance to get back again. We had some guys on the cusp, and a couple big leaguers too, and they've been there, and we're trying to get back as well. So you've got a real high level of a player. You got to carry so many rookies. You got to carry, I believe, four rookies on your roster, but the biggest thing is you have a lot older roster where an affiliate of ball, let's say the Midwest League, that's mostly they're half rookies. You don't have any veterans there. They're all young guys coming out of the draft or whatever. So it's a little different where we have control of our roster. Chris Brown and Joe Capietra, that's our GM and VP and our manager, they have full control of the roster. They can make trades and sign players, and they can do whatever they need to do to find that missing piece to help our ball club out, which makes it a lot of fun. Where if you're a play-by-play guy in Mobile, Alabama for the Padres club, your club has no say in who they bring in. The Padres bring the players in, and if you don't like it, well, that's just tough because they're paying him and you're not. So it's a little different, and that's what's so much fun about the independent leagues. Winning matters to us, and we try to win.
So having whet our appetites and having listened to you obviously on the ABL TV app and on Talking Baseball Australia, is there any way that we can get our dose of Dan Vaughan over the summer if we so wish it? Is there any way we can watch the American Association online? Or
yes, the same MixLR app that we use here in Perth, we use in Kansas City. It's Kansas City T-Bones MixLR, and we have an official channel there. We also have an official SoundCloud, which right now it's quiet because there's been no highlights. We keep highlight reels there and interviews and such, mostly highlight reels there. And then we're also on our AmericanAssociation.tv. The league is a league-wide TV thing, video stream. that we do all of our home games on video. We also carry all of our games at home on audio. So we have audio, video at home. All of our road games are streamed online on audio. So MixLR carries all of our home and away. And then the AmericanAssociation.tv site carries our games. And really the easiest way to go is to KansasCityT-Bones.com. It's the best place to go. And that'll have our broadcast link. As a matter of fact, the T-Bones are redesigning our website this winter when I get back in the last couple of months when we start the season. We're actually going to be debuting our new website along with some exciting news. I don't know if you know the show Brockmeyer, but Brockmeyer is a show that was on a cable channel there in the States. And it's got Hank Azaria in it, who plays a play-by-play man.
Yeah, I heard about
the show at all. But if you watch this season coming up, number two, you'll recognize some uniforms in a couple episodes. They look a lot like the T-Bones, and that's who you'll see. T-Bones making an appearance in Brockmeyer this year. So we hope to maybe announce our website around the same time the show debuts in the U.S. winter. So it's been exciting times there, and I'd love to have you guys listen. I love the internet. The beautiful part about this thing is, too, is that talking backflips here, even 10 years ago, this wouldn't be possible. When I first started, my mom and dad want to hear my broadcast, I had to send them a cassette in the mail or have them call the booth and put the phone up to the speaker. That was it. There was no internet broadcast. There was no Skyping, no Google Hangouts. That didn't exist. Now I get to know guys like you, and you get to know me, and fans from all around the world get to know each other, and we all get to chat during the games, and we all make it a smaller world than what it used to be. And I love that. To me, the fact that Garrett Whitley's mom and dad in New York are emailing during the broadcast, you guys are checking in the broadcast, they're all become one group of people in different parts of the world. You're in England, and then we're here, and my wife's in Texas. We're all these different places tuning in together as one big group, and I love that. It wasn't possible before. I think that's probably what I'm more excited about now than I was, because when I first started, it wasn't possible. Now we all hear each other, and we're all part of the same team. It's cool.
So I guess we can put you on the guest list for the London 2019 MLB games, should they actually come to fruition.
I have no problem doing that. I'd love to come over for that. I've often, as a big WW2 buff and a big supporter of our armed forces in America, I've always loved our allies in England and in London and in the United Kingdom, and have nothing but respect. I'd love to spend some time doing baseball. Maybe bring Simon with me too. Well, Simon, he's English. Bring Simon with me too.
Yeah.
And great Simon Isons, and of course former Perth Heat legend and broadcast partner. But we'd love to come over. I'd love to do it. And I'm always looking for baseball field trips. So any kind of field trip, I'm there. So just find me a place to bunk, and I'll be ready to go.
Well, I know that there's a couple of guys. I'll point you in their direction over on Twitter who have done some interesting things about Americans playing baseball in the UK during World War II. So I think that sounds like your bag very much from what you
just said. I would love that. You may have heard me tell the story on the air, but I've told it a couple of times, and Simon and I have talked about this, that there's a scene from Memphis Belle, the movie about the bomb B-17s. They were based in England during World War II. There's a scene in the movie, and in the actual book itself, they talk about this in the book, but you see that the enlisted men are waiting for the planes to come back. While they're waiting for the planes to come back, they're playing a catch. I mean, a catch, baseball gloves, just catching, and they look up, and they drop the ball because there come the planes in. So it was part of our soldiers there, and I think it's really a cool thing. And again, I love our allies and the Australians as well, and you'll never see me disparage any of them. I'm a very big fan of all of our friends, and being that I'm both Australian and American, pretty much, I might as well. I love y'all. I love y'all.
I'm not going to ask you who your rooting interest is in cricket. I think we'll leave it at that. Dan, it's been an absolute pleasure. Before I let you go and get on with the rest of your day, having got you up bright and early, can you just do us the honour of telling us where we can hear more of you? On you said it's on MixLR, but where can we pick up your next calls for the Heat? And where can we find you online, should people want to follow you on various social media and all that?
Well, Twitter is really easy. It's Dan Vaughn, V-A-U-G-H-A-N, Jr. Dan Vaughn, Jr. And there's a picture of a fat koala on there, which looks a lot like me. but Dan Vaughn, Jr. And then I'm also on Instagram, Dan Vaughn Jr. as well, V-A-U-G-H-A-N-J-R. Talking Baseball Australia is our flagship website. It's a WordPress site, but it's got our game notes on there, which are really, I think, are very interesting. We produce those every game, and Paul Morgan and myself. Paul is couldn't be a classier guy. He's probably my best mate, and he and I worked tirelessly. His efforts here should not go unnoticed, because he is really a pioneer of the game in Australia. A local Perth guy. We met my first year, become thick as thieves, we call it. And I love the man with all my heart. He and his family are great people. But Paul, I have Talking Baseball Australia, all one word. Also, our Twitter is Talking Baseball. It's TB Australia is our Twitter spot. And then our MixOR channel, we're also on TuneIn, but our Mix, which I haven't pushed that enough, but MixOR. Is go to MixOR, the app, and it's just look up Talking Baseball Australia. It'll pop up. We're also on the TuneIn app, which is the radio app as well. You can also find us there. And then if, for example, you're like, gosh, I can't remember all that stuff, Dan, go to pertheat.com.au. Just type in Perth Heat. Go to our website. And every series, I've got something up there that tells you in our stories where to find our broadcast as well. We'll be broadcasting all weekend coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the nation's capital in Canberra, as we'll be the visitors this week in a big series against Canberra Calvary. So love to have you guys join us. Send us a chat message, an email, or just a thumbs up. We'd love to have you. And the more the merrier. So hope that helps, and we'll see you on the broadcast.
Absolutely. We definitely will see you on the broadcast, Dan. It's been a pleasure. And hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Anytime you give me a holler, I'm always here to help you guys any way I can.